And we are live today, Bridgestone Arena. Jared and the GM hanging out here. GM Derrick Henry went on Taylor Lewan's Bussin' with the Boys podcast and said a lot of things, said a lot of positive things. You know, we already played the clip about Tom Brady, in which he was asked about Brady coming to the Titans and asked the question, was Ryan Tannehill not good enough? And so on and so forth. But Derrick Henry was asked about his season. Now, there's the modest guy, and then there's the fake modest guy. Which one do you feel like Derrick Henry is?
I would say the real modest guy.
And what would you say Jared Stillman is?
Oh.
So Derrick Henry was asked about his season. League rushing champion, took over the playoffs, and Pro Bowl, league touchdown champion, name it, Derrick Henry did it this year. And he was asked about his season, and listen to his answer when asked by the boys.
Maybe the one of the best years a running back's ever had this year.
It was a good one, but you know.
Who do you think about when he says
left a sour taste.
Yeah, oh, no
just question.
Just
because you lost the AFC Championship?
Say it again?
Just because you lost the AFC Championship?
Yeah, man, it's just like, ugh. Just left a sour taste in your mouth. It's just like, ugh.
But you gotta be hype about the performance you had this year. I know it's always about team. But when you're laying in bed after you have a hell of a year, you gotta feel good about what you've overcame in your own journey and like that to be like, yo, I'm feeling good about where I'm at.
Honestly, I think about how my teammates feel as far as me as a teammate and how I play. I get more. I guess
out of your teammate,
I get a more great feeling out of that rather than me, you know, boosting myself up, hyping myself up about what I did. I like looking at them and seeing their reactions, or you know, listening to them talk about the season or talk about me as a teammate. That's the feed. That's what I like. I feed off that.
Floyd, what do you think of that?
I think it was very interesting, the difference between the two,
Lewan and Derrick.
Yes. Lewan was, you can tell where his thoughts go.
Now, in the middle of that, I think that was Compton.
You think it was who?
Will Compton, the old linebacker.
Oh.
He does the show with Lewan.
I thought it was Taylor.
I think Taylor was at the beginning when he said best season ever for a running back and so on and so forth.
Who said it about laying in bed and thinking about it and all that?
I think that was Compton.
Oh, okay, good. I feel better then. Much better. You know, Derrick is, and he could be fooling me too, but I honest to God think that's the way Derrick is. I mean, Derrick is, you know, at some point in time, with as much exposure as he has had, you would have to break. You know, you would have to mess it up.
There'd have to be one night where you're on a table with 18, you know, whatever. And
something happened and you lost and you... You know, I should have never come here. I hate this team. I hate the coach. I hate the whatever, you know, it may be. And I don't get that feeling at all about Derrick. I mean, I think he is legit. And I think his attitudes about, you know, his teammates and all that, that's why everybody loves him. That's why they love having him around.
Is that a learned behavior by Derrick Henry? Is that from being around Nick Saban and being with the Titans, or is that the kind of guy Derrick Henry is, and that's why Nick Saban wanted him, and that's why the Titans?
Well, you can tell Derrick just by the way he presents himself is not an extroverted blowhard, you know, look at me, look at how good I am, look at what I've done. He's none of that. None of that. And consequently, I think, you know, I think that's a little bit of his personality to begin with. Then I think being around the Nick Sabans, being around the Alabama program, now coming here to Vrabel and his program and all, you just all of a sudden you get to a point where that's the way you do it. You know, that's what you believe in. And so I think right now that he is a legit guy. And that's why you just love those kind of guys. I mean, you know, I always hate to use this term, but people talk about going to war. And I mean, that's the guy you want to go with.
I would say this. And I'm with you. He could be fooling all of us. Derrick Henry could be putting on the greatest act in the history of football by acting like this great team player to try to soften and fatten all of us up. And maybe it's worked, and I don't know. But, we really love Derrick because he runs for 200 yards a game, and then this is just a huge bonus on top of it. Running back is one of those positions in the league. I look at receiver and corner kind of the same way, where it is such a me position, right? Like, every play you have to be focused on you. And if you're a good running back or you're a good receiver or you're a good corner and you don't feel like you get the respect you deserve, a lot of times you see these guys fly off the handle. T.O. and Jalen Ramsey and so on and so forth. That's why I worry about running backs getting paid, because the abuse they take is so much and the what they have to put on themselves is so much, and it doesn't age gracefully as a position. When I hear Derrick Henry talk like that, the more I think that even if you sign Derrick to a huge contract, and Derrick's not going to be able to run for 200 yards in the playoffs when he's 35 years old, but the more I hear Derrick Henry talk like that, the less I worry, if I even worried at all, of Derrick bringing his work level down. Like that Derrick will sign a contract this year and will say to himself, I've arrived, and mentally not put in the same work that he's put in before. Just because I just don't think that's his personality. I think his personality is the, hey, when he signs that contract, it's going to be the personality of, hey, this team is depending on me, and I need to go out there and perform for this team because everybody out there is depending on me.
And that's why he's such a good teammate, you know, because I think that's the way he is. And like I said before, I think that's probably the way he always has been. But now it's just because, let's face it, you can, I mean, if you're ever going to see an eye guy, you know, look at me, I did it, I'm the one. I mean, he was the best in high school, best in the nation in high school.
In the history of high school football.
He wins the Heisman Trophy on a national championship game. I mean, team at Alabama. Then turns around, gets drafted here, comes here, wins, leads the league in rushing. I mean, what? It's like you've heard me talk about Eddie when Eddie came in, you know, to redo his first contract, right where Derrick is right now. And you say, well, he's played 5 years, he's been rookie of the year, he's been all pro or pro bowl every year, never missed a practice, never missed a game, never missed, you know, what do you do? You just pay the man. So I'm assuming it'll be the same with him.
How much do you love, when it all comes down to Derrick Henry, how much do you love the fact that Derrick Henry did what he did and still has the attitude he had? Like, how much does that actually matter to the football general manager of the team?
Oh,
I'm sure John
tremendous.
Robinson's heard that same thing that we just heard.
Yeah, but it's so, I mean, let's face it. It's like I said before. How many, forget who it is, forget it's a sport, forget, how can you have all of the wins that he has had in his life and not at some point in time say to yourself, hey, I'm pretty good now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even though you aren't, even though you're very average, you say, hey, I'm pretty good. And so I think it's, I just think it's tremendous for guys like that to be able. And that's how you know they're legit, you know, because that's not a game. It's not a pretense. It's not a, you know, it's all about me. It's, hey, and you know, you. I mean, I can't say enough positive about those kinds of guys. And Eddie was that way. Eddie was the same way. You know, Eddie would never, I don't think I ever heard him talk about, you know, I'm glad I made it to the Pro Bowl, or I'm an All-Pro, or I won the Heisman, or any of that stuff. You never heard anything about it.
Well, you know what my theory is behind this with Derrick Henry? Is the guy's won so much in his life that it's not about him anymore, right? Like, he knows he's good. He's been good his entire life. Everyone's been telling him he's good. But he wants to win a Super Bowl. And what's the easiest way to win the Super Bowl, right? It's to do the right things and be a good teammate. I mean, like, I think Derrick Henry's smart. Like, I think you see it in the way he plays, that he's a smart guy. Like, I think he's a smart football player. I think he's a good football player. I mean, again, I heard Derrick Henry say that about his season. And I was, what do you think LaJuan's thinking as he's sitting there. And Derrick Henry's talking about, you know, I don't really get excited about what I did during the season. I don't feel like it was a great season, but it was cool to see everybody else get excited about the season we had and so on and so forth. And
well, and I think it affects – and we've been through this a thousand times, but, you know, Taylor going through his issues that cost him those first four games, that cost the team, that cost – you know, I mean, I'm sure Vrabel had played that off as a very selfish move. And now, you know, here you've got one guy that's just willing, you know, has done more than the vast majority of anybody on that team. And he's not letting on. And yet, you know, you cost the team a couple of wins anyway. So, I mean, it's got to hit home a little bit.
Let's take your calls. Your thoughts on Derrick Henry and the way that he talked about it. Now, my question is this. When you hear Derrick Henry talk that way, does it mean that you want to keep Derrick Henry even more? Or does it make you feel like if you write that big check for Derrick Henry that you won't regret it because Derrick Henry is a team-first kind of guy? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. And there is one little angle to this that I do worry about the Titans in the offseason. We'll discuss that coming up next. Jared and the GM live at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming the Game Nashville app.
Have you seen the stuff about Tom Brady looking at schools in Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen something on Twitter about it.
What would you think if Tom Brady came to the Titans?
I would think, why isn't Ryan Tannehill good enough?
Oh,
it's a good argument. So you're saying, well, Tannehill's what, 31 years old?
Yeah, I think Tannehill's 31, yep.
And Brady's would be 41?
I mean, he still can play. I mean, like,
no question,
obviously age doesn't matter for, you know, him. He's still playing at a high level. So, I mean, but my question would be, why isn't Ryan good enough, you know?
Derrick Henry all in to support his buddy Ryan Tannehill on Bussin' with the Boys on Taylor Lewan's podcast. So, Floyd... Clearly, Derrick Henry, just the tea leaves from the way that these guys have been talking, sounds like Derrick Henry wants to come back. Sounds like Ryan Tannehill wants to come back. Adam Schefter made it clear today that he is going to be coming back, or that the Titans and Tannehill will probably work out a deal. Logan Ryan has said he wants to come back. And then there's Jack Conklin. Are the Titans in a position, and I worry about this, but are the Titans in a position where they may be able to keep the same players that they've had, but not necessarily get any better? Like, if they bring all four of those guys back, I like all four players, but if they bring all four of them back, with the salaries rising the way it's rising, will you still be able to be better and go get your pass rusher and be a better team and maybe compete for one of those top seeds in the AFC next year?
Well, I would have to imagine. I mean, you still got the draft. You can go through that. You'll have free agency. Now you may have to adjust some contracts along the way to allow yourself to pluck a free agent. But you can do that. You know, that's not earth-shattering. And so I would think that there would – again, I am not – I'm looking at their cap as an outsider, strictly an outsider looking in, and I think they're in pretty good shape. Now, they're not in great shape. There are some teams, I think Indy's got like, you know, $95 million worth of room left. And I think that, you know, right now the Titans are at 50 or 55, and they've got another, you know, 10, 15, 20 million out there if they want to pick it up. So they're going to be in good shape. Now, you know, it may start getting tight after this, but. They just have to make really, really good decisions with everything they do. And they know that better than anybody.
Texter to the text line. Josh says, I say pay the man. If somebody said Titans, the first person that would pop into anybody's head around the country would be Derrick Henry. Because of that, he deserves it. How much do you buy into the talk that Derrick Henry is the face of the franchise and thus the Titans need to keep Derrick Henry because he's the face of that franchise?
I mean, I think Derek would be certainly one of those guys that would pop into your mind. You know, the truth is, I'm not sure that we have a face of the franchise.
Well, right now, I mean, right now, I think it is him.
I don't know who it would be. I mean, I don't know that there's anybody out there. I mean, if you ask 50 people in San Francisco, you know, they may not come up with the same answer, you know, at all. But
I think Derrick Henry is your answer going away. If you were to ask people around the country who the face of the Tennessee Titans is, I mean, going away, it's Derrick Henry.
No, I don't know that. I mean, you could be right. I just don't know that. I mean, I would say Tannehill would have to be up there for some of them.
No, I mean, like, remember what we talked about before the Ravens game when all the TV shows, the Shannon Sharps and the Stephen A. Smiths and all, it was who's going to have a bigger impact on the game, Lamar or Henry, and they turned it into Lamar versus Henry. And it's totally asinine because it's really Dean Pease' defense versus Lamar Jackson, and it's Derrick Henry against that great Ravens front. But, you know, these people love talking about the stars. They love the NBA where it's like Damian Lillard versus LeBron, and they love doing that, and that's what they turned that game into was Henry versus Lamar. And then they turned it into Henry versus Mahomes. And that's where Tannehill came into the picture was, you got to make Tannehill beat you because Henry is the man. I'm convinced Derrick Henry is the face of the Titans franchise, but I'm not sure that that holds any tangible weight with me because you can always go get another face of your franchise.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not you're not going to sign a guy because he's the face of the franchise.
Right. That's my point. It's like you don't win any games because you got a face of the franchise, whereas you didn't have a face of the franchise before. Texter into the text line says, Floyd, would you move the 29th overall pick in order to get the rights on Matthew Judon from the Ravens on the franchise tag and then give him an extension?
I didn't understand the question. Move
would
the
you
rights.
Trade the 29th pick to get Matthew Judon, a pending unrestricted free agent? If the Ravens put the franchise tag on Judon, would you then trade the 29th pick to get Judon and then sign him to an extension?
Man, oh, man. I don't know enough about Judon. I mean, you'd have to consider it, but I'm not sure. I'll say this, the little bit I know, if it was between the Penn State kid that we were talking about that I can't pronounce his name and Judon, yeah, I'd go get Judon.
I mean, if the Ravens aren't going to re-sign Judon, then getting his rights is not going to cost you a first-round pick. Like, if they're going to tag him and then trade him, the going rate for him is not a first-round pick. If Clowney on the tag is worth a third and two middle-of-the-road linebackers, it's not a first-round pick for Judon.
I don't know what it would be. I mean, I think according to the rule, it's two firsts if it's an exclusive.
Well, that's if you sign Judon.
Yeah.
Like, that's if you sign him away from the Ravens.
Right.
This case would be that you give your first and you get Judon on their tag, and then either you re-sign Judon or whatever. Again, Clowney was on the tag and wasn't going to sign it.
Well,
and Clowney had no interest, and it was a third. And
then I have to sign him to a contract?
Two bottom. You don't have to. I mean, the Seahawks aren't going to sign Clowney to a contract.
Well, and that's pretty stupid.
I mean, they gave up a third, and they got a year of Clowney.
Yeah, a third and two players.
Two middle of the road players.
A third and something else. I thought there were two draft choices and two players.
No, I think it was a third. I think it was the third and two, like, bottom of the roster guys.
Well, I wouldn't trade for anybody that I hadn't signed.
Not even a third for Judon?
No. If I don't have him signed to a contract, I mean, I don't want to mess with him.
Well, you know, they chose John Schneider over you, maybe because John went in there and John Schneider said, I'm not going to sign guys when I trade them off for third-round picks. Again, I think a third-round pick for Clowney is I just don't think that anybody wants to sign Clowney to a long-term deal because they don't trust Clowney. If you sign Clowney on a long-term deal,
he's hurt all the time.
That's why you don't trust him.
Why do you want him on your team?
Let's go to Drew, who's up next. 615-737-1025. Drew is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Drew?
Thank you, fellow, for taking my call. Enjoying your show.
Thank you.
GM, I'm just hearing you highly speaking on Derrick Henry.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. I mean, everything you say is so true. When coming to him, between him and Eddie George, Derrick Henry being the face of the franchise to me, you know, having know, being Melo during the time when DeMarco Murray sat behind him and never panic or never had acted any way unusual. He did take it from his grandmother before she passed away about being humble. And he is sticking to it. We ought to be glad and hey and proud that we have that big back on our team, because he's going to do great things, you know, in the future for us. And that's winning that Super Bowl. He wants it, and I'm just being a fan. Really want him to have that. So thank y'all for taking my call.
Thank you, Drew.
Thank you, Drew.
The interesting part about things like that, like Drew's call here, is that a guy like Derek, that is a good player and is as good a person as he is, makes people proud of the fact that they're on his team, you know, that he's on our team. And I think that is so good for not only sport, but for the team and the franchise and the city and all of that. So, I mean, I think you get those calls from somebody like Drew. They're meaning, you know, they're important calls.
Steve texts into the text line, judging Ryan Tannehill's past, I'm all for keeping him as long as he doesn't go back to the way he played at Miami. Well, no, duh. I will sign up to take the highest rated passer in the NFL, the highest rated passer since 2013, and the fourth highest rated passer in the history of the NFL. I will sign up for that right now.
I would agree.
You know, I got into an argument. I got into an argument on Louisville Radio. I guess one of the producers is a huge Philly fan, and he found out that I said that I think Tannehill's a better quarterback than Carson Wentz, and he just went bananas. And I'm like, your guy's never hurt. Like, I've had Ryan Tannehill for three more playoff games than you've had for Carson Wentz, and I haven't even had Ryan Tannehill on the team for an entire year.
Yeah,
like, I mean, come on now. And I'm going to have to pay my guy $28 million, and you're going to pay your guy $32 million, and I'll take my guy at 28 and 32 at yours, because your guy is never healthy, and even when he is healthy, he's not that damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, just drives me nuts. Oh, goodness gracious. Hal Gill, speaking of driving me nuts, Hal Gill is here. He will join us next. Is he a believer after the winning streak? Jared and the GM. But first, let me tell you, and this is important for all of you Preds fans, as I dig this out from what Ian sent me, Smashville Live tomorrow night. Preds special player guest Craig Smith and Austin Watson will be in Cool Springs at Brew House South, located at 1855 Galleria Boulevard. The show starts at 7 o'clock. A limited number of autographs or pictures will be available, so get there early. Tomorrow night, Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Yeehaw Brewing Company, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Hal Gill's next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5, The Game. The GM live at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Why you got to stand up, Hal Gill? We're already 2 feet shorter than you.
The place is jammed.
And now you're standing up.
The place is bumping.
Yeah, I mean, now you're standing up, and now I feel like I'm literally, like, looking up at, like, I'm literally, like, yes. Like, I feel like you're Moses on top of Mount Sinai right now.
Yeah, feels like that. You know, some people just like to stand out in the crowd. I'm one of them, you know?
All right, let's start with this. This weekend, it was a good sign. Is it anything more than just, hey, a good sign of what they're doing? You should be happy with their compete level, how hard they fought, how well they played. Or is it really a moment where we look at it and say, wow, this team has turned this corner and they are ready for the stretch run?
I look at it as, well, there's different levels of, you know, the system seemed to be coming around. The compete is there. Guys started playing. That St. Louis game was in St. Louis was good. Guys were busting. Guys were moving, making plays, scoring goals. But what's more important to me is the last game on Sunday at home against a huge team in St. Louis that's going to come in, and they're mad because they just lost. They haven't been playing all that well, and they just came all out. They played hard and went at the Preds, and the Preds had the confidence to build a wall around Rene. Rene made saves, but they found a way to win. And I think that's probably the biggest thing taken forward now is that, okay, they get that confidence even from a game where they weren't that good. You know, like, mm-hmm. they didn't have the guys blowing down the wing and scoring goals like DeShane. You know, they were struggling offensively, but they found a way to get big goals when it counted. Kyle Terrace comes up and snipes, and you win a game because you played good defense. So that's what I'm building off of.
Aren't those games like that sometimes more important, where it's a complete battle and it's great, and it's not, you know, it's not a 6-2 or it's not a, it comes right down to, you got 2 minutes, you know, after all this work, you're going to get it done or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the, what you're looking for as a team is when you're having an off night, you find a way to win. And that's all. I mean, you can say you want 2 points, doesn't matter how you get them.
Yeah.
It would be nice to just roll and win 6-1, 6-2. It doesn't always work. Like,
doesn't
well, you
happen.
Know, that is.
Doesn't happen.
Sometimes it's not your day and you still got to grind it out. You know, like even when Jared gets the sniffles, he's got to come to work and find a way to get it done.
Although there was one day here a couple of weeks ago that, or a couple of months ago, that it was a bad day for Jared.
Yeah,
I mean, that
was a tough time.
Ryan had to come into the bullpen at some point. Hal Gill with us. I am convinced the most underrated aspect of this team.
Wait, Jared, did you say you couldn't finish the show?
Oh, it was bad.
Really?
I'll put
wow.
It in. So we're at Pete's
so
Jerry's
you,
Tavern.
Like what, you, like it,
so we're at Pete's
you had a running
Jerry's
nose?
Tavern,
like
right?
A little scratchy throat?
No, I went to Quentin over there, who does a great job with us and takes
sure
great care of us and everything. I told Quentin at about 2:15, I said, hey, you may want to have somebody clean the bathroom because I just threw up. Like, that was, it was that
you know what,
kind
it says
of
a lot about you.
Flew like,
though,
oh,
that
I, hey, I tried
it.
To gut it out. I really tried.
I'm sure
I mean,
you did.
I tried.
I'm sure you did.
You know, it's like stuff coming out of my nose. I mean, it was like,
I'm sure you did, buddy.
I'm convinced.
You're a warrior. You tried. I really tried, coach. Sorry.
I am convinced the most underappreciated or under-talked about aspect of this team is its forecheck. And that when they are forechecking, that is when they create the best offense for themselves. And I go back to Thursday night against New York, where early in that game, Craig Smith in that line, they forechecked the crap out of the Islanders. First period at St. Louis, they spent that whole first period in St. Louis's zone, and they got after them, all four lines, checking and making St. Louis play a 90-foot game. And then I turn around, and I look yesterday or Sunday, and I just didn't feel like they had the energy and they weren't as deep in St. Louis's zone, and that's why St. Louis had so much time in Nashville's zone.
First of all, St. Louis's forecheck and their reloads were very good. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, the Preds would make one pass, and all of a sudden, five guys smothered around them. It was, they played a good system and a hard game, and it was tough to play against, but what the Preds, I think what they did really well in St. Louis is getting through the neutral zone with some speed. Now, you know, if you look at it, the way it has been at times is Roman Josi carries it up, and if he has a play, he makes it. If he doesn't, he's just putting it in. And, you know, that's one way to start a forecheck, but you're not going with a sense of getting the puck back. You know, it's a very different when you have Kyle Turris, who's smart, going through the neutral zone, saying, I'm going to put it in a certain area where Philip Forsberg can go and get the puck. And that really sets up their forecheck. So I agree with you, but it's because of the work that they're doing in the D zone, getting it up to the forwards attacking through the neutral zone. If you look at that DeShane goal in St. Louis, that was off of the rush. Mm-hmm. Now, you score goals off the rush. Now the D says, okay, we got to get up and attack you guys. We got to stop you. And then you can put it behind them, and then you set up your forecheck, and then you're laughing. And that's what I think they've balanced very well as of late.
What has the Smith, Bonino, Grimaldi line done so well that you wish the other lines were doing?
Well, I wish everyone could do that, but it's not as easy. You know, you say a lot of people say, coaches say, I can teach the defense. I can teach this guy to do that, but he's got elite scoring ability, so we need him, and we'll just teach him the defense. Well, Nick Bonino plays so well in the defensive zone and knows where to be and where to make plays and then where to get the puck and get it out to Smith and out to Grimaldi and let those guys go. And then he gets in the zone. They set up the forecheck. Bonino reads the play so well and fills in underneath, pushes to the boards, allows those guys to attack and then re-attack. And once they attack and re-attack, Bonino goes to the net. I mean, we've seen it. How many times have we seen it where he's at the net making plays where those guys are buzzing? So I just think they work off each other so well. And in large part because I think Bonino is so underrated as a player because of his defensive side, his awareness away from the puck. And, you know, he just, to me, he does it all. And I think he sets those guys up.
How is this the new coach's philosophy kind of penetrating, everybody buying into it a little bit more as we go?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it. I think for a while, I think they struggled to change. It wasn't quite clear what they were going to be and how they were going to attack. But, you know, he said it. He wants to firm up the D zone. We saw that against St. Louis. They would look, you know, they kept things on the perimeter. They didn't give up the crazy grade A scoring chances that they used to. They gave up a lot of shots, but their perimeter let Rene make the saves. And then, you know, going through the neutral zone, he said, I want to get the forwards involved. And that's what we were talking about with the forecheck, getting the forwards to puck earlier so that they can make plays, attack off the rush, and then get their forecheck set up. So I really think is, and, you know, he works on things in practice. You know, they go and watch a video, and this is exactly what we want to do. They go out and practice exactly what they want to do. And I think that's a different mindset that they had, whereas they were rolling for a couple of years, and Laviolette was just putting them out there and just keep rolling, boys.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to work on anything because everything was kind of clicking. And when things don't click, you need to heighten your focus, and I think they've done that with Hines. So,
Hal Gill presented by Puckett's.
How much of a night like the other night with Pekka, who's, you know, last four or five games has kind of struggled a little bit of time or two. Lights out. I mean, just
good.
As good. How much of that is, because Pekka said afterwards, he said, I came in here in my mind thinking this is a playoff game.
Yep.
You know, that kind of attitude. How much is it Pekka with that kind of attitude, and how much is it everybody else?
Well, I think he got hung out to dry in Vancouver, first of all. And so he was, you know, you get pulled and then Juice goes in and starts three games in a row. And you, I mean, that's tough. That's tough. Pekka's got a lot of pride, but I think he's such a competitor and such a great teammate, and he's going to support Juice, but he wants to push Juice. You know, he doesn't want to just say, okay, go ahead, Juice. You know, he's got a lot of fight in him. So when he came into that game, of course he had, you know, he's ready to go. I mean, he's dialed in. And I think he wants to say, all right, kid, if you want to take this job, you're going to have to be better than that, which is the best thing. And I think both of these guys, and the mentality you want is like, if you want to win the game, I got to be in the net, right? I mean, that's what you want a guy that wants the ball, right?
And you don't take me out of the game, not if you want to win.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And so I think having this kind of back and forth where they are such good teammates and care about each other, but also I'm going to fight for it. And I think that's kind of a good thing we got going right now.
Hal Gill's with us. Hal, you've been dealt at the deadline before, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If the Predators don't have a great week this week.
I like how you just said, like, you've been dealt.
You have been dealt.
I know, but I'm a human, remember? You got dealt, right?
And I love it. But that's why I got a no movement.
Just call me out. Hey, piece of meat, you just got dealt.
But if the Predators don't have a great week, and let's say David looks at Mikhail Granlund, and we saw what Tyler Toffoli just went for, and, I mean, you know, like they are paying high prices right now.
Yep.
And let's say David gets his socks knocked off for Granlund or Smith and goes out and wants to make that move. I guess the way I'm asking you is, how much would that hurt this team, the chemistry of what they've built under Hines, to take somebody who maybe wasn't playing great, Hines comes in, is lighting it up, and then ship them off? How much does that kind of hurt what you're trying to build under Hines if you make a move like that?
It's tough because right now I think David Poile he's in the middle. You know, I'm sure he wants to add a player. And anybody also knows if he gets a good take, it gets a huge haul, then it makes sense to move a guy. So I just think, you know, either way, guys know it's a business, and guys know, and they're going to see it. You know, like if it's a huge haul for Craig Smith, even though he's playing great and you need him, guys will be like, "Yeah, good for Smitty. He's going to go to a team that has a chance." David Poile had to do it. The guys understand that. That being said, it's tough when a guy gets moved because you want to make a run for it. You want to do it now, and you're on a team that wants to do it now. So
we're just afraid that it like takes away from what you're like. You're having success with Hines and what he's preaching, and then you trade the guys that are having success under him. It's almost like, all the work that he's put in that you're trying to get people to believe in, you're taking away from
that. That's why Poyle gets the big bucks, because he's got to make decisions that are tough like
that one. And that's a concern, because it looks like maybe the management and the coaching aren't on the same page, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the case, but...
No, I mean, everyone gets questioned. The second you make a trade, everyone's going to throw their 2 cents in, and that's why you have to be pretty darn sure that you made the right trade, you know? You can't just... do something for the sake of doing it. Yeah. And I've seen that used to be the way. You know, you have to go get a guy. And if you don't get a guy, it doesn't look like you're making a push for the playoffs. You know, and so I don't think it's like that anymore. I think David Poyle is going to be on the phone for a long time. And I think he's already been on the phone. And he's trying to listen. He's talking. He's seeing what's out there. And if the right deal comes along, I don't think we all know he's not afraid to pull the trigger. But he's going to be pretty darn sure, I think, if he does.
I just want to replenish the farm system. You know, like, they've made so many trades over the last couple of years that have been going for it. Trades 2 years ago, they didn't pick until the fourth round.
I
look at this and I think...
I understand that, but I think you got everyone here and everyone I know and everyone in Smashville that says they want to win right now. And so you can take your farm system and... Yeah, with all due respect, sir.
I know, but you know these things are important.
Are you worried about you know
these things are important. You know a farm system is important.
I think it's very important, but you don't want to give up this year right now. I think if this team starts to click, it's a very, very similar to 2017. It's pretty much in the same position.
Same record.
Clawing back in and finding a way and hitting the stride. And you disagree?
Well, Pekka said after the game the other night that he doesn't feel that way. He says it feels different.
Of course it feels different. But
I agree that it feels totally different than 2017. I mean, they fired the coach this year. Like,
I understand that, but you're crawling back in. You're fighting for your life to get in, and you're looking for a wild card. You're fighting for that. It's a very different than the last 2 years that have been just steamrolling through winning conference and throwing up banners and laughing about it.
I feel like what people forget about with the 2017 season was that they, down the stretch, were pretty much in the playoffs the whole time. I mean, I know that they were the eighth seed in the West, but they were 10 points clear of a playoff spot. I mean, like, they were pretty much in it. This year, if things break their way, they are going to get into the playoffs with probably a team 2 points behind them. You know, like, it's going to be one of those kind of
games. Yeah, I agree. It's
which
gonna
I'm cool
be tight,
with, but just still, like.
Okay, I'll let you win that one. Good job.
Thank you.
There you go.
Hal Gill, as always, presented by Puckett's. Hal will be on the call tonight. Hal, how critical? They got 1 point out of a playoff spot, played Vegas, not a good game, and they end up falling back a little bit. 1 point out of a playoff spot. They play Edmonton. You can argue the refs cost them the game. You can argue that Edmonton just had a good night. You can argue they could have done a little bit more and won that game, whatever. And then they get beat by Vancouver, and then it's kind of back to where they were. How important is tonight's game from the standpoint of you built back all that of what you did over the weekend? If you lose tonight, it just takes away from so much that you just did over the weekend.
Someone's – tonight, Carolina or Nashville, some team is going to be disappointed. Because
they're very similar situations.
They're in the same situation. Yeah. They're fighting. They need to get over that hump, and it's right there. And so, you know, that's the fun part about it is you can go out there, battle, give everything you got. If you win or you lose, you got to get going because there's another game coming up after, and it's not going to get any easier. So, obviously, a win is huge, but there's another team that's thinking the same thing. So it's. It doesn't make it easier. Just because you want it so bad doesn't make it any easier. And then you just got to keep rolling. So that's the fun part about this year is you don't really think about tomorrow or the day yesterday as much as you usually do. You know, now you're just focused on the moment and being in it.
Hal Gill, as always, presented by Puckett's. Hal, we will look forward to you tonight on the broadcast as you do such an eloquent job. I will say this. I listened.
Oh, here we go.
I was listening to the pregame show. On Saturday, and I was listening to the pregame show, and I got home right at puck drop. And so Hal says at the pregame show, you know, this game, both teams, it means so much. He goes, this is the kind of game where you see a fight early in the game. And I don't know why. I just kind of stored that away. And about 10 minutes later, I see Philip Forsberg dropping the glove. Like, I've never seen this guy fight in my life.
That's a big game. Divisional battle. Both teams fighting. I love it.
And I tweeted out, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, Hal said there was going to be a fight. And so when he said that, I'm like, okay, Watson's going to go out there on his third shift and throw the gloves down. And instead, it's Philip Forsberg getting a fight. Like,
I like that.
I did not expect.
I like that. I know things, Jared. Pay attention.
Hal Gill, as always, presented by Puckett's. Predators game day.
Thanks,
next.
Guys. Thanks,
Jared,
Hal.
The GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's game day in Smashville, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes and Geno's East. What are John Hines' keys to the game? Who will be in and out of the lineup? It's time to break it all down on Jared and the GM on your flagship home of Smashville. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Predators game day is presented by TJ Anderson Homes. Your road to Nashville area real estate begins at TJAndersonHomes.com and Geno's East. Get a historic slice of Chicago deep dish tradition before or after the game. Geno's East on the corner of 3rd and Korean Vets. Info at GenosEast.com/Nashville. Tonight, the Predators take on the Carolina Hurricanes. The Predators at 29-22-7. Good for 65 points. 3 points out of a playoff spot behind the Arizona Coyotes, although the Predators have 4 games in hand on Arizona. Carolina enters tonight 1 point out of a playoff spot behind Philadelphia at 33-21-4. And again, they are 1 point out of a playoff spot. We start with the coach's take presented by TJ Anderson Homes. Check out all the new tools at TJAndersonHomes.com. Your Nashville area real estate expert is my friend TJ Anderson. John Hines says, can't get too high after the wins or too low after the losses.
You can't get too high and you can't get too low. And you can't base your mood or how you play or what you do based on results. You know, we didn't play a very good game against Vegas at home. There was no overreaction to it. It was how are we going to get better? And it's the same thing this weekend. We had 2 hard-fought battles. But we're facing – the good thing for me as a coach is you're facing probably the hardest-working team in the league. I mean, Carolina works, and they have talent. So I think it helps also that the opponent we're playing is of the same ilk. But it's important not to get lost in games. You can't get lost in a big win or a good couple of games, and you can't get lost in a couple of bad losses. It's always about why did you have success. It was mindset, preparation, focus, hunger, all those things. So what that carryover is, why did we play that way? And that's what today is going to be about. It's not about just because we won a couple games. It's the mindset has to be right.
Floyd?
I would agree 1,000%. I mean, I think everything he said was true. It's going to be interesting because, like we mentioned a minute ago, you know, this Carolina team is in a very similar situation that we're in. I think they're like, I don't know, point or two out of the playoffs. Point out, and we're 3 out. And you know, here where these 2 teams are going to be battling to see who can, you know, maybe get over the hump. So, I mean, you don't want, and I know what he's saying is we can't get too high, can't get too low, because you want that consistency. You know, you want that certain level of play where you know that you're going to come out tonight and you're going to play to a certain caliber.
I think the one thing that I have with that is the forecheck that they had, the effort level that they had in those 3 games that they won was through the roof, and it's got to stay there, and it can't be affected by winning or losing. The lines for tonight, Arvidsson, Johansson, and Granlund. Forsberg, Duchesne, Turris, Grimaldi, Bonino, and Smith. Yarncroak, Sissons, and Watson. So John Hines not changing anything up.
Good move.
In that regard. Meanwhile, UC Saros will get the start tonight in net for the Predators. What happened? Well, Saros plays more when he plays a good game, so then they run Saros back out there because he's hot. Pekka just dominated, and now Saros is going back out there.
I don't know.
It's what we argued about yesterday. They're never going to tell you Pekka's not the starting goalie anymore. No.
You just heard Hal talking about it. I mean, there's no doubt. We know where they stand. I feel better than ever about it.
I'm just telling you.
Okay.
I mean, I try to be the person around here who tells the truth. That's why this show is so popular, is because that's what we do. But tonight, the Predators sit 3 points out of a playoff spot. Again, 4 games in hand on Arizona, but only 2 on Winnipeg, and they're tied in points with Winnipeg. And it's not just because they won a couple of games, it's certainly not a lock that they're going to make the playoffs because they had a good weekend.
No, it's certainly
not. So these
not.
Games like tonight are games, again, every game it feels like you're going to have to go out there and win. And you just don't want to fall backwards in position after you did all that work this weekend in order to put yourself back there. Tonight, 7 o'clock, right here live at Bridgestone Arena, the Preds taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. Floyd, what are you looking for tonight?
You know, we've talked about this, but we got a good start. You know, we caught some momentum back. We feel good about ourselves. We're confident. We've played with some more consistency. We just have to continue doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can beat St. Louis a couple of times in a row, you should be able to win the vast majority of these games. I think we just need to attack it with that kind of confidence and focus.
I think tonight we have our special silent auction winners for our LP pencil box donations from the season of giving in the house. So I'd like to see a win for them because they put their hard-earned money into our season of giving. And so tonight, how about we win one with the Predators for them? That's it for us. We're out of here. Pre-game is next.